somebody who's never suffered from righteous love. The value of danger. At once my enemies, then cave, stared at me, and Norman's nests of rules and columns, jottings, and other stages of indolence. What I purport to have achieved is thrown back at me, remembering how I forged my own lines, cartoon cruel, have become the worshipper of my own arrogance. Scaling through the leather steps, lips are broken again, eyes ribbed, sweaty, my silence deflected by a mobile ring. €10 fine or else. Fine, I won't do it again. I wash my mouth out with Guinness, and for to be truly Irish, we must obey our stereotypes, no matter how well we are fed. The next one dances in the dark corner of the gift shop, grown tacky with demand. Sorry to insult your vanity, but things never work out that way. The supply of tinted urges, bursting out an age of reckoning. And I'll hold the light in the corner to declare a return to form. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Patricia. Next up, please welcome Brad Munch.
Hi, last week Emmett read a poem called Same Old, titled Same Old Thing. I don't know if you remember it, but it made me think of a poem. I was in St. John's College one day, 10 or 12 years ago, and there happened to be a poet from England performing called Francesca Beard, and I thought I'd like to read one of her poems. It's called The Poem That Was Really a List. The spade that was really a symbol, the queen that was really a pawn, the king who was really a rock star, the madman who was really God, the milkman who was really dad. The waiter who was really an actor, the actor who was really an artist, the artist who was really a pornographer, the pub drunk who was really a philosopher, the small boy who was really a helicopter. The vehicle that was really a toy, the toy that was really a bribe, the toy poodle that was really a baby, the baby that was really a last ditch attempt. The cafe latte that was really a milky coffee, the soup that was really a meal in itself, the studio flat that was really a bedsit, the shortcut that was really a cul-de-sac, the 9-to-5 that was really a ball and chain, the pain-free diet that was really a cash loss weight gain, the commercial success that was really a sellout failure, the check that was really in the mail. The lack of interest that was really impotence, the frigid cocktease that was really lack of interest, the one-night stand that was really a date rape, the mercy fuck that was really an act of love, the leaked statement that was really a press release, the statistic that was really a cooked book, the apology that was really an excuse, the excuse that was really a screw you, the ivory tower that was really an elitist ghetto, the weapon of self-defense that was really a stiletto heel, the anecdote that was really an extended slap in the face, the helping hand that was really a kick in the teeth, the stiff upper lip that was really a cold shoulder, the last laugh that was really an own goal, the little bird that was really a can of worms, the fresh start that was really a wrong turn, the youthful radiance that was really soft focus, the race riot that was really a political protest, the spiritual journey that was really an ego trip, the ego trip that was really a spiritual journey, the home that was really an investment, the marital relations that were really a form of rent, the sofa that was really a bed, the park bench that was really a bed, the cynic who was really a romantic, the romantic who was really a sexist, the sexist who was really a phobic, the self-sufficiency that was really insecurity, the love that was really fear, the fear that was really nothing, and the ending that was nearly really here.
Whoa.
Thanks so much. Next up, please welcome Michael Ray.
Mozart. Other than telling me she slept with her cat, on account of him being well into his ninth life. I warmed to her slight frame, unaware good looks and honeyed accent. She was a good bit older, born next door in this row of Victorian tenements, cheap rent for us students. On sunny days, I'd be out back, wedged in an old deck chair, pretending to write an essay or read, plugged into something funky, wearing shades, sunburn, and a faded t-shirt. After hanging washing, she'd lean over the wall to extol the virtues of sunscreen, while that mangy sack of bones wove itself round her legs. Mozart's black and white markings, scarred nose and bent tail, lent him an eccentric air. As we chatted, she'd scoop him up, offer his matted fur to pet, close to her generous breasts. One morning, she was at my door, looking small, holding a borrowed pick. I followed, through her hall, past the stairs I'd imagined being led up, to the backyard, the freshly cracked concrete, and him.
Next up, please welcome Emily Davis Fletcher.
This is about, I don't know if maybe you can relate, but about being in a relationship and feeling like, you know, it's going to end, but like, not so much worried about that, but thinking about like the person that's going to come after you and like feeling like an affinity with that man or man. And no one's like, mourn him or something. This is called Between Women. There you are, I imagine, your breasts and laughter filling my void. The cat I saved folds itself inside the V you make in bed. He pours himself into you and will show you to all of his friends. And my name will break silently like lightning reversed in their minds. I thought of writing you so many times to warn you about his electric move, suffocating in its unchanging switch. His love won't be any transforming fire while you burn beside him holes for breathing. I feel you following me like a younger sister, leading you into what I will outgrow. Though I am sure you are older, thinking you know more. He is not your first to your advantage, yet I feel responsible, while the girls or women before me took their insight with them, their magnetism fruitlessly rubbing, polishing him in ways unseen in photos, shed blindly as dead skin, leaving no broken chain of letters stuffed under the mattress, or pressed against back drawers, waiting for me to find. Would I have torn their advice, their empathy, into tiny teeth to cut new words, swallow their warnings with my own instinct, connecting his shiny, empty cans, winking by his side, to that familiar fallen constellation at my mom's feet. Stop searching his points, spreading out naked in bed, with story after story, like trusted stars, he pointed to an honest, lonely, unlucky man between warm flowing words and what he didn't say. When you ask, he will reduce me to a simple exaggerated shape. An American, out of a teepee of therapy, calling everyone alcoholic. But you will know without words, written or spoken. You will share my thoughts while he sleeps at your left side. We come from the same bed. More like than sisters, our father's distant, our mother's favorites. We close the distance between their past and our next steps, knowing why all our walks with him end in bars, why the picture of his daughter is 8 years old, why we give him time to change, like dropping pennies in a well, and live circling the spent wishes of another woman.
Amazing, Emily. Thanks very much. Next up, please welcome Michael.
This is based back in the 1960s when myself, along with many other lads of 8 or 10, were altar boys. I better explain one or two words. A soutane is the usually purple and white or red and white cover that the altar boys wear. A pattern is a little silver plate that was held as one moved along beside the priest as he handed out the host. In those days it wasn't put into the hand, it was put onto the tongue only. The hands came later. That was a kind of time of change. I remember my brother was just a year and a half older than I was. He had to learn Latin by the time I was enlisted in the army of altar boys. We had English, so that sort of gives you a time. This is called Altar Boys. Down the dark morning road we ran with soutans tucked beneath our duffel coats to serve at early mass. From the warm sacristy came the quiet smell of candles, and the light inside the church was a marble fluorescence. We knew each careful prayer and each response came like the flow of wine and water or the ringing of the bells at consecration. Light from light, true God from true God. We had to slow our words to keep pace with the sleepy congregation. I held the paten at communion under rows of old protruding tongues and faces, the body and blood of Christ. By now the light outside was thin and cold. At home again, warm bowls of porridge, then the hectic rush for school ensured the mystery was forgotten for another day.
Thanks so much, Michael. Next up, please welcome Jamie O'Connell.
I was going to read a poem, but I think I'm a fiction writer, so I'm just going to read one, if you can bear with me, just one or two paragraphs from a story I've started. It's called On Eating Grass, and it's from the point of view of a boy. Sinead was awful jealous of me, and I remember her rubbing me face into the ground and Mam wondering what the rash was until she caught her after ages. I remember it because Mam was telling the nurse when she was giving Mam some exercise for her dead legs. Like, I can't actually remember it happening, as in, I don't remember it in my head. But it definitely happens because Nan said it did. That was how the week ended, and wasn't I just a bit exhausted and just needed me bed, so Nan said to the guards. But I wasn't exhausted at all. I'd do it again, not a bother. There was an awful lot of bother, there was an awful lot of messing going on since September, but it was Patrick who kicked in the window, and it wasn't me, and I said to teacher that I'd never did it, and anyway, it was only a tiny crack and I hadn't fallen down or nothing. Teacher didn't believe me because she'd sent me home before because I wouldn't take off my jersey. She said she didn't give two hoots about football, and I said we'd been in the quarterfinals and it was soccer anyway, and if she didn't like it, she could feck off home to England. Teacher took us to Dublin to the Natural Gallery because she said it's the best art in Ireland, and some of it was good, but I didn't like it, just boring stuff of Our Lord looking sick like the ones in Nana's house. So wasn't he always dying? But half of it was shite anyway, because I could have done better. There was this one fellow with this mad German name or something, did this picture of these boats sailing, and it was like something a baby could have done. Patrick was laughing at this one with this woman's arse hanging out. It was feckin' huge, and we were laughing and making farts. And teacher told us to shut up or we'd have to go sit on the bus, even though everyone else was laughing too. We were looking at them for ages, and my legs were getting tired, so I had to keep swapping them over. Then we got potatoes and Coke, and then we went to the shop with books and toppers of Our Lord looking green. Me and Patrick found this one of this photo with women with tits. Patrick drew moustaches, but I said nothing and we went home. Me and Patrick took a can from Dad's boots on Monday because it was lying there, and we went behind Nan's shed and drank it. I only drank some because Patrick did, and he called me chicken, so I drank half of it, and he said I felt sick, and I said I didn't, even though I did. And I said to him, if he was such a hard man, why didn't he fucking drink the rest of it and stop talking shite? So I kept burping, and Patrick said I couldn't burp the alphabet. So then I did, but then I got sick and the dog started licking us and it was cool, but I thought it was disgusting. Mary Robertson's been on the telly the whole time wanting to be president and all, and Dad thinks she'll get it because any old geezer could do that job. She looks nice, but he said they all look nice until they're elected and then they turn to a right shower of bastards. Sinead got the attic because she's older, and Matt said she couldn't be trusting me at all with the steps and that I'd always be hurting myself, and I said to her wasn't I grand and wasn't I always climbing things. She said it was wrong, what was wrong with my own room, and I said it was unfair that Sinead got a lock on hers and I got none on mine. Mam said when I was in secondary I could have one. Sorry, I read that wrong. I could have one, and she said I smelled funny, and I said, and had I been sick, and then I got an awful fright because of the can. She wasn't a downright bastard on Tuesday when he found out that I'd taken his can. I know Mam hates him too. because I saw her looking sick when he tried to kiss her. I wish she'd feck off back to the army and leave us alone. The bruises on my legs were awful sore. Then he stuck the pipe back. When he stuck the pipe back on the Hoover, I said to him, "You're a right cunt," and sure that only made things worse.
About Colin, and it's basically about his, you know, as he was a kid in Ballymun, and so I wrote this. It's called, I wrote it for him. It's called Inner City Kid. Toddler on a window ledge high up in Ballymun, skydiver in pajamas, thought he was Batman. Ready at the age of 4 to soar into the blue. Took a while to talk him down. Stole his first kiss at 5, learned to tug more heartstrings as the years went by. A good idea, he thought, to fling down all his toys to youngsters playing below and get a few new friends. Dejection when he saw the lads all disappear as each bore his prize away. Now, at 36, he hears his own kids say they'd never be so dumb. First venture out to mass, surreal in the extreme. The money for the plate was spent on sweets and gum, his brother and himself munching contentedly as they watched their first live show, better than any film. Things are more daunting now than 30 years ago. Yet he has found his voice, carved out a life of worth. But a heart pang still remains for the time among the towers when a fearless little rascal crawled out to see the world.
Thanks so much, Mary. Next up, please welcome Sean O'Riordan.
The performer called Office Life. The timer switch in the jack. Whose idea was it? And who sets the timer? Is it the same for gents and ladies? If your time runs out, is it black as Hades? So when nature calls, be forceful and fast. Just get down to business. Don't let time pass. And all you smart people should talk in the halls, and all you young fellows stop playing with your balls. These methods are drastic, but the warnings are dire. The hole in the ozone expands by the hour. The men in white coats do not think it funny. It's vital research. This time motion study.
Okay, next up we have Kava Holden.
In vacuum spaces, blasting tunes, developing races, and carving wounds with presidents' faces, and Coca-Cola's insignia, civilization, was here. And it was here that the motor stopped, when engines ceased and cables locked, till the movement ceased, the penny dropped. We faced the barrel, not the stock. Our engine block just weighed us down. Our star has set, we're over now, and graciously, we do not bow. We face the curtain, with kapow. The lights are out. The streets are red. We are God. God is dead. Client justice. Anyone ever do that?
Yep. Yeah. Up or down or
left? Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
it's by a Canadian band, Flowbots. Very good, actually, I'd like to check them out. It's called Handlebars.
Find folly in fantasia, get gibberish from genius. We stood shouting at your altar, surely, surely you must have seen us. No, no, maybe it's not so. Maybe the young are blind, maybe one day they will know the workings of the clock and the tickings of the mind. When they finally cracked under the pressure, light a candle in their cage, toast to the death of inspiration, to another artist lost to age.